Come on, let's give the Lord a big clap offering. Amen. You may be seated, church. How's that? Oh, I'll tell you what, church. I felt the presence of God come right then. It's absolutely beautiful. Now, you notice, church, I didn't do a lot of yelling and shouting, because I tell you what, you can mistake power for noise. There is a difference. This is not about how loud you are or how sanguine or quiet you are. This is about faith. Hey, we're going to move pretty quickly here. You ready to go, church? Here we go. I want to talk this morning a few ideas because I think it will help us and boost us in what we're doing right now in your church. But did you know that you were called to the church to be the church? If you look at the theme of the scriptures, you will find from Genesis to Revelation, God's got one thought on his mind. Most people think it's redemption. No, it's not. There's something that preceded redemption. It's the house of God. The first house of God ever built was the Garden of Eden. And right there at the beginning, God in the whole world created a place from which he was going to bless the rest. God always takes the few and blesses them and visits them. It's called the house of God. And from the house of God, from the garden, from the ark, from the tabernacle, from the temple, from the church, God is wanting to bless everyone else. But so often, because we are need-orientated and because we're human and we're locked in our own circumstances so much, we interpret it all from our own view. And we start to see church as my church. We start to see church as how can the church help me? But I want to share a few thoughts with you today that might help us and challenge us about that. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, and it says this: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his glorious light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession." You see, we see in the scriptures that our calling is to be royal priests in God's house. Our calling is to fulfill our service as priests in God's house. Our calling is to be active in our ministry in God's house. We are called to participate, to contribute, to serve. When we go to the first reference of Bible in the Bible of house of God, where it's actually mentioned is in Genesis 28. And here we find a pastor's kid, Jacob. You've got to understand that's what we need to think of him as. He's the pastor's kid. He's not a Johnny come lately. He knows about the offerings. He knows about the house of God. But he's growing up as a user and a taker. And he travels running from his brother. It's a really good pastor's family. You'll find the wife lied to the husband and cheated and got the son because she liked the younger son to cheat against the elder son and the father. Oh man, it's a real dysfunctional pastor's family, that one. And he's running from his brother and he comes to a place that we now understand to be called Bethel. But he comes to this mountain and he gets a rock and he makes a pillar and he rocks himself to sleep. I know it's early in the morning, come with me here, okay. And he had a dream, no wonder he had a dream. I would have a dream too, I'd have a nightmare if I had a pillow like that. But in this dream, he dreams this incredible dream and this taker and this user, this little worm of a man, because that's what the Bible calls him, he now gets an encounter with God. And for the first time in his life, everything's going to change. Because up until that point, he sees everybody, including the house of God, as his source for me. What can I take out of it? And we see a revolution in this young man. And it says, he called the place Bethel, the house of God. And he set up a stone, a pillar rather, from the stone that he slept on. And it shall be God's house, and I will bring a tenth of all to you. Where did he get this stuff from? How did he know how to set up a pillar? How did he know how to give 10%? Where did all this stuff come from? And he sees this vision, and in this vision, he sees a ladder going up, and he sees angels ascending and descending. And then he sees the gate, and he sees that the house of God is a gate. Isn't that incredible? That's the law of first reference. It's right there in our scriptures, and it shows us what God's house is to be. This church is a gate. It's not a club. It's not a closed environment. It's called the gate, the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And the other thing that happens in the church, this church has got a ladder. And that ladder is an access to heaven. But I want you to notice the direction. The angels go up to God first, then they come down to man. But so often in the church world, we want everything to come to us before we go to God. No, 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 no. The ladder goes up to God first, and then it comes down to us. And the first thing that this patriarch does, the first thing that he does, is he sets up an altar. This church, if you can see this, is a gate to the world. But you've got to understand, first of all, it's an altar to God. Every church is based or built or established on the altar of the cross of Christ. It's the foundation of the church of God, and everything else follows it. Everything else follows it. Isn't it significant that when you go over to the first patriarch of the kingdom of God in the New Testament, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. So way back in Genesis, we find Jacob using a rock to establish the church, an altar. And then in the New Testament, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. What was he talking about? He was saying to Peter, I've given you a revelation. Blessed are you, for you have a revelation of the rock. You have a revelation of what church is really all about and what God is all about. Did you know all through the Bible, every patriarch established an altar? Every prophet established an altar. Every tabernacle and every temple established an altar. And every altar had priests who served the altar. Do you know it was formalized in the tabernacle of Moses and under the law? So you see, everything that preceded the law was actually formalized in the law. And then when Jesus came and annulled the law and put away the law, he brought a new law. So instead of the law of works, he brings the law of faith and grace. But you've got to understand that things that preceded the law, that were principles in God, follow through the law and into the New Testament. And once we get that concept, then we begin to understand the house of God. Because everything in the Old Testament portrays and pictures and prophesies what would be in the church and in the New Testament. Isn't that incredible? And so the church comes, and it's a new revelation or an unfolding fullness of the revelation of all these patriarchs, of all the temples and all the altars, but nothing changes. Here's what we have. We have a new house, the church. We have a new altar, the cross of Christ. We have a new priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest. And we have a new priesthood, the priesthood of believers. Nothing changes. But it's just new. It's a new day. It's a new way of doing business with God and for God. There are three things that every church therefore should do. Every church should establish an altar as central to the life of the church. Many traditions in the kingdom or the church world establish a table. They call it a communion. But actually the communion is about what God's done for me. An altar is about what I must do for God. And before we grow in grace and faith, we need to discover the altar before the table. It's pictured in the Old Testament. When you walk to the door of the temple, you couldn't just go in and go, "Hi, God, and how's stuff?" You couldn't just walk in and go, "Hey, God, how you going? I need to talk to you. I disagree with a few things here." You couldn't just walk into the tabernacle and just say, "Hey, Moses, I don't like the music. What are you doing here? Hey, I've got some opinions about how you should run the tabernacle." You couldn't even get first through the first door. Because at the first door, what is there? There's an altar. And have a guess what happens on an altar? Things die. Very unpopular in today's society. Because you see, we want to do God on our terms. I call it hobby Christian. In other words, I'm fitting God into my world. See, that's non-altar concept. To be a Christian means I first of all come to the altar and I die to self. I die to the world and I say, "Not my will, but yours be done." Now God can do business with us. Now we can do things with God because it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's no longer my agenda, it's his agenda. See, the altar's got to come first. That's why I love churches like this. Every week, you're asking people to come to the altar to get right with God. It's called salvation. We bring them to the cross first. Without the cross, without the altar, there can be no service, there can be no blessing, there'll be no ministry or fulfillment. We must come to the cross. Is this helping anybody here today? Number two, every church therefore should make the altar of the cross central to its life and its activity. And number three, therefore every church should establish, equip and release the priesthood of believers. What are our ministry as priest? What are we to do? Because we don't have a temple. I mean, I didn't notice Pastor James bringing a goat this morning. I didn't notice other people, like I didn't notice our youth pastor here bringing a bird, like a little pigeon. Why? Because all those offerings are now summed up in the one offering, Christ. Christ is the peace offering. He is the sin offering. He's all the offerings wrapped up in one person. But here's the great thing. He did it once and for all. We don't have to keep sacrificing. We don't need penance. I don't have to crawl over glass because I was a naughty boy this week. I must come to the altar with repentance and humility and once again say, "Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me." So we come. It's not a physical altar. We don't have an altar, but we have altar calls. But I want you to see this whole building as an altar. Everything that you do in this church is to preach Christ and Christ crucified. Whether you're handing out a cup of coffee, whether you're serving at the door, whether you're running kids' church, or you're involved in the band, or you're running a small group in your home, they're all altars. They're all extensions of this altar, the church. It's pretty exciting, isn't it, church? And you and I are to serve at that altar. How are we to serve? Number one, what are we to do? We're to present ourselves to God as living sacrifices, Romans 12. Number two, we are to give our service and our ministry to Christ. We are all priests, not just the pastors, but we are all priests in this church. That's a dangerous idea. That means church isn't confined to an hour service on a Sunday morning. When we're all priests, I'm a priest tomorrow at university or school or work at home when I drop the kids off at creche or whatever. We're all priests. We're all walking, serving God. That's a very dangerous idea. That's why the devil wants to shut it down. That's why religion wants to shut it down. You can't have that. You can't have everybody being able to pray for the sick and believe God. Whoa, that's how will you control it? Well, you can't, you see. It's God who controls it. It's God who leads it. What does leadership do then? Leadership isn't to control what God does. Leadership just provides banks and direction. Because without banks or direction, you get devastation. You just get a flood that covers it and destroys. But if you can have banks and get that river moving, fish can live in it. You can trap it and make power with a hydroelectric power. There's lots. You can do lots of things when you have a river with banks. And have a guess why I love large churches like this, churches that are growing. Because you can have a big river. You can have lots of fish. You can have lots of miracles. You can have lots of everything because it's a bigger church. You see, because we are called to give our ministry. Number three, we're to pray. He said, my house of God, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I want to encourage you, get along to the prayer meeting. Be in the prayer meeting. Don't be people that just say, oh, I'm too busy. You're never too busy to pray. And I believe the prayer meeting should be one of the most important meetings in the life of our church. Because it shows us we're putting the altar first. We're coming to God first. Instead of having all our plans and all what we want. What else are we to give? We're to bring our praise. Look at the language. Let us offer continually the sacrifice of praise. Now, I used to think a sacrifice was what was left over. Oh, God. I've had such a tough week and I just feel crushed, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Hey, there are times when we do that, but actually that's not the meaning of sacrifice. Do you know what the meaning of sacrifice is? You bring your best. You don't bring the old sheep down the back with one eye and a broken leg. Say, God, I'm bringing you an offering. No, you bring the first fruits. You bring the best. Bring your best worship. Bring your best offering. Give into this kingdom offering today, not with leftovers, but bring the best. Put the best in. We're called to bring God our best, our worship. And we're to bring our tithes and offerings. Oh, I haven't got time to talk about that. But you know, so many Christians say, we're under grace, not on a tithe. We don't tithe. We're not under the law. Well, was Jacob under the law? Was Abraham, our father of faith, under the law when he tithed? Tithing isn't about law, it's about revelation. Ministry isn't about, oh, well, I guess I have to. No. We don't give into this kingdom offering because we have to. We give because we get to. What an opportunity. We're kings and priests of God. Not just the leaders, not just the pastors, but every person sitting here, you are a priest of God. What a high calling. But you know what God says? When we serve Him, we will never lack any good thing. He will bless us and prosper us. That's what we're called to be. Is that good news this morning? Do you love the house of God? I would call everybody here to rise up, and maybe 2018 would be your best year ever as a church, as you build the altar and see thousands of people come, young and old, and receive Jesus and get their feet on a straight and narrow way, walking arm in arm as priests in the house of God. Oh, God is good. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for building your house. I pray, Lord, build this house, not just with bricks and stone and concrete, but, Lord, with living stones, with priests that know you, with saints that have the praise of you upon their lips and faith and love and joy in their hearts. Fill this place, we pray, in the name of Jesus, that you will receive all the praise and all the glory. And everyone said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big clap offering. Thank you, Pastor.